Dark tremors sweep across our lives. Troubling events accost us. We have grown accustomed to reading of such things, and often we have faced off our natural sympathies with the thought, this belongs to somebody else. But perhaps now a crisis of life brushes close to us, touches us, befalls us, as we love. We want now to know how and what and why. We want an explanation, though we know that all our explanations put together do not finally explain. They but fend off worry and anger and grief. The mysteries of evil and innocence remain. The darkness of being at a loss remains, and in this abyss of the heart, we can but pray for light. And this is what we pray. Let me be patient of all these feelings that drive me hither and yon. May I be at peace, more patient with myself. Let me live within the questions that promise no answers, but only signal the mystery that gave them birth. Let me turn from every pettiness of the heart, willing to see and accept that the world does not revolve around me. Let the grief, the pain, and the nameless trouble that overcomes me also open me to feel that others, what others have felt. Giver of being and freedom, unbind my compassion for all beings about me, and again, set free the child of grace that is within me. Amen. His congregation longed to catch the tune. Imagine that we are at the corner of the sprawling market in Mexico City, where an old Indian man named Potalamo is selling onions. 20 strings of onions lie in front of him. And a guy from Denver walks up and asks, "How much for a string of onions?"
10 cents, replies Potalamo.
"How much for 2 strings?
Potalamo fixes his eyes on him and says, 20 cents.
"What about 3?
30 cents.
"Not much of a reduction for quantity. Would you take 25 cents for 3?
"No."
"Well, how much for all of it, the whole 20 strings?
"I will not sell you the whole 20 strings.
"Why not?" asks the American. "Aren't you here to sell onions?"
"No," replies Potalamo. "I am here to live my life. I love this market. I love the crowds. I love the sunlight and the smells. I love the children. I love to have my friends come by and talk about their babies and their crops. That is my life. And for that reason, I sit here with my 20 strings of onions. And if I sell all my onions to one customer, then my day is over. And I have lost my life that I love. And that I will not do."
This is a story that I have used in small group ministry as a way to talk about our values. What is it that we value most? I suspect that there are many values that we all share. And I also think that there are some basic needs that we all have, one of which is to live our life fully and purposefully. And here's the thing, and I mentioned this before, every single person here could be somewhere else right now doing something else. You could be sleeping, hiking, exercising, reading the newspaper, or a good book like Søren Kierkegaard's Philosophical Fragments and Concluding on Scientific Postscripts, which I have read, actually. But you have instead voluntarily come here in order to be in a community and to have a shared experience. No one else in the entire world will share this experience this morning except for us. This doesn't make us elitist or better than someone who does not attend, but it does show how meaningful it is to live our life in a faith community. The last three worship services we have had here suggest the same thing. During the service about safe passage in Guatemala, a few of the youth noted how difficult it was to put their experience into words, and yet they did a remarkable job doing so. And what came through over and over again was the relationship they had with the Mayan children of Safe Passage and the relationships they had among themselves as a group. They had an experience of shared community. And I heard from a number of people after the service on Pete Seeger about what they were doing or how they met and even saw Pete Seeger himself when they were younger during the 60s and 70s. And singing his songs during the service brought all of that back. Many of us had a common experience both in the past as well as during that service. And we all understood without saying so perhaps how difficult that time period was in so many ways. And yet how alive the music was for us. In a service about General Assembly, brought together some of our youth and adults who went to Rhode Island in June and experienced worship and programming with over 4,600 other Unitarian Universalists throughout the country. And actually many Unitarians from other countries as well. Although we might process it differently, we all had a common experience for which we were grateful. The elements that are universal in all of these experiences is that a group lives through something together. It is unique and it is self-transcending. This, in fact, is what worship is: connection and transformation through self-transcendence. We know all too well, however, that these elements are intrinsic to group experiences that are not always benign. How is it that the Nazi party, or any fascist or any hate group, for example, could entice people into believing things that undermine other people's dignity? How could religious groups think it's okay to kill or to destroy one another's sacred sites and shrines with people in them? How is it that peer groups can consider bullying to be fun or a game even though it hurts others? The same elements, connection and transformation through self-transcendence, are involved here as well. But there is a major difference. Paul Tillich, the Protestant theologian, asks, "What is your ultimate concern?" But put another way, what is your God? Is it money? Is it your peer group? Is it the nation state? A sacred book? Death? An intransigent belief system, hatred? Any and all of these might provide groups with some sense of self-transcendence, but there is nothing ultimate about any of them. They are all worshiping a false god. The Hebrew prophets, Jesus and Muhammad, all warned against idol worship. Why? Because that which is not ultimate nullifies and diminishes life itself. And we are all here to live our life. Forrest Church, a Unitarian Universalist minister, puts it this way in his book, Love and Death. Fundamentalists come in two basic varieties. Right-wing fundamentalists enshrine a tiny god on their altar. Fundamentalists of the left reject this tiny god, imagining that by so doing, they have done something creative and important. Both groups are in thraldom to the same tiny God. When people tell me, he says, when people tell me proudly that they don't believe in God, I ask them to tell me a little bit about the God they don't believe in, for I probably don't believe in him either. God is not God's name. God is our name for that which is greater than all and yet present in each. Call it what you will, spirit, ground of being, being itself, it remains what it has always been, an awe-inspiring, mind-bending mystery. For me, my ultimate concern are, again, what Paul Tillich calls the ground of being, is love itself. My friend Ronnie, who died this past spring at the age of 95, told me every day that though she was dying from cancer, the two things that death could never take away are the experiences we shared together and the love that we had for each other. And when I think about what it is I wish to leave behind when I die, the only thing that truly matters to me is the love I leave behind. I don't need to be a cryogenics experiment, fantasizing that someday my body may be restored. I don't need a building or space named after me, although if we have the new space here. I don't need to be immortalized. In fact, I don't even need to be remembered. What my hope is that there is a little more love in the world because I was here. My hope is that I contributed through love and compassion to making our world a little more just and equitable. In short, to fostering paradise. Forest Church further writes, why then do we choose to join together rather than exercise our full freedom to believe what we will in the privacy of our homes on Sunday mornings? Simply because experience has taught us that we need one another. We need guidance in recognizing our tears in each other's eyes. We need prompting to raise our moral sights. We need companions in the work of love and justice to enhance our neighborhoods and to strengthen our witness in the world. And yes, we choose to join our hands and hearts because we know how easily we slip back into mechanical habits that blunt our consciousness. We need and know we need to be reminded week in and week out how precious life is and how fragile. How so very fragile. So here we are, on a summer morning doing worship together. Here we are reminding ourselves that we need not always be alone. Here we are celebrating the desire to live our life and yet knowing it's okay to shed a tear because there is so much pain. There is our own pain. And there is the pain prompted by so much injustice. Indeed, how many Ferguson, Missouris, or Sandy Hook, Connecticut, must there be? How many people have to die in the Middle East? How many children need to perish from malnutrition and disease? When will we get it? When will we get that violence and killing and hatred and greed just feed on themselves and never resolve anything? What everyone needs is to live life and to meet their needs in so doing. In Guatemala, after an evening worship service, two youth and I started talking about happiness. Now, I was on my way to bed thinking of how happy I would be to be in bed and get some sleep. 45 minutes later, I finally get to my room. Apparently the two of them stayed up, I understand, for at least another 2 hours. I forget why, but I initially mentioned that I had read an article saying that in the United States, some research has found that anything beyond $75,000 a year income does not increase happiness. But, said one of the youth, what if you need a really fancy sports car to make you happy? And I responded, while the fancy sports car might be a thrill, it's temporary and doesn't bring any lasting happiness. It's only a desire, not a need. Yeah, but what if you need a lot of power in your car? That's a wish, not a need. Yeah, but what if you need that power to have that thrill so to be happy? Again, that's a desire, not a need. It doesn't bring about any lasting or true happiness. Yeah, but you have that classic car, the 62 T-Bird. It must make you happy. Darn kid. It doesn't even run. So I said, I do admit that when I see it, it makes me smile. But so does seeing the bay every morning when I wake up. I don't need the T-Bird. In fact, I can say honestly that I could let it go right now. By the way, rather than personalizing this and insinuating that I'm a hypocrite, no, I didn't really say that. But I did go on to ask why it was that he thought that even having a car was necessary for happiness. And off we sped, a good-natured, albeit thoughtful discussion about wishes, desires, needs, and happiness. And it was grand. We need, as spiritual beings, deep connection and the transformative power of love and compassion. This is what Sunday morning is about. It is also what our lifespan programming is about, trying to meet our spiritual needs. In a church with an adult membership at this point of 145 people, one of the best ways during the week, not just on Sunday mornings, to remain connected is to be part of one of the small groups offered by Lifespan and by small group ministry. These offerings are not meant to be therapy groups. Rather, they are relational groups where the covenantal relationship is of prime importance. These small groups are designed to provide a safe context where trust and friendship can readily occur. So the offerings from Adult Lifespan will be posted soon by Linda Buckmaster, and small group ministry or covenant groups will be starting early this fall, and Susan Coe will be taking names for those who are interested. What we do at church, whether on Sunday morning or during the week through our programming, is ministries for the heart. Ministries for the heart. So let me end by paraphrasing Potalamo. I love this church. I love the people. I love its energy and its desire to flourish. I love the children. I love to have people come by and talk about their babies and their lives. I am here to live my life. Blessed be, and amen.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Images of broken light which dance before me like a million eyes. They call me on, and on across the universe. Thoughts meander like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Sounds of laughter, shades of love, are ringing through my open ears, inciting and inviting me. Limitless, undying love, which shines around me like a million suns and calls me on and on across the universe.